Welcome to Briefings in Brief, an audio digest of IT news and information from the Packet Pushers, including vendor briefings, industry research and commentary. I'm Greg Farrow and with me is Drew Connery Murray. It's the 24th of January 2018 and we've just come from a session with Juniper Contrail. So we're going to just talk a little bit about that and we'll get started. So we've just come from the Juniper presentation at Juniper. We were there talking about Contrail. And remember, we were talking on the network break, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? And we're sort of thinking, you know, they sent it off to the Linux Foundation, and we sort of felt that that might signal the end, might have to make a bit of a mea culpa on that, because it might be a little bit more structurally significant. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Randy Bias was talking about the initiative around Open Contrail and his attempt to come in and revitalize the project. And he did essentially say, mea culpa, we didn't get this right the first time out. So we're redoing it. We're trying to restructure how it's governed. We're trying to evangelize the benefits. And not only are they reaching out to service providers and telcos, but he says he also wants to make it essentially a fabric for everybody, including the enterprise.
Yeah, and what I felt was when I was talking about the Linux Foundation was that because Juniper had that uniquely closed sort of open going on, mm-hmm. and he directly met that head on and said, no, it has to go out. But then the point was that he had to move from closed to open, so they had to do a whole bunch of stuff like architectural governance, what's going to stay in, what's going to go out, and then you've got to have a governing body, so you have to set that up. It's not easy transitioning something to the Linux Foundation, because the Linux Foundation actually sets up various pieces of process. So okay, so now it's in the Linux Foundation. What does Open Contrail represent? And then they started talking about Contrail itself. So keep in mind that having a primary sponsor involved, the question in my mind was, where's the customers? So where's the rest of the community, which was pretty small. Did you notice who was in the groups there?
I did see some names in terms of people who are on the boards, the various boards they've set up, like the governance board and the technical steering committee. I think I saw Intel in there. AT&T might have been on there. I'll have to go and check our notes. But there were some big names.
Yeah. So they'll put a link to the show notes about this. Hopefully you'll be able to find that. But that's the question on my mind. So now it's open. Will Open Contrail bring the kids to the yard to try and participate?
Randy called this out specifically. He said, you know, an open source project only thrives when it has a community. And you have to get that network effect where people start coming to it and then more features come out and then more people get attracted to it, but somebody has to push that rock down the hill to get it
rolling. So you can't help but wonder if customers pushed back and said, it's not really open. And eventually they sort of went, okay, so let's leave that. So then they started talking about Contrail. And
which is their product that you can buy Contrail, separate from Open Contrail.
And I was sort of, and one of the things I was trying to get to grips with is what's the difference between Contrail and Open Contrail. So Open Contrail is the open source, seems to be targeted at things like Kubernetes and OpenStack.
Clearly.
And then I started thinking about, well, they were talking about hybrid cloud, how you get Contrail to manage AWS and Google Compute, and how, you know, like to be the hybrid cloud app. And then they started talking about security groupings and tags and all those types of things. So obviously I'm starting to think that Contrail now is, so while Open Contrail does open, you know, snaps into the open Kubernetes, OpenStack, you know, open source projects if you want to use the Contrail technology. But if you want to start working on AWS, GCP, VMware,
Azure,
private clouds, and you want to work with BGP EVPN, you're going to have to be looking at the Contrail or the paid-for product.
I think what Juniper has done with the commercial version of Contrail is they're slicing it out into sort of discrete components. So they told us about their Contrail for security. It's a security use case for the Contrail package. Contrail for multi-cloud, where you use Contrail as the control layer, the control plane for your private data center, your private cloud, and then pump up into the public cloud and have one unified control plane across it through Contrail for public cloud.
Yeah. A lot going on in the briefing, though. So when you get a chance, go and if you're listening to this and you want to think about, you want some more tech field day, we'll have videos for it on Vimeo that you can watch. Watch them on video so you don't get the Google YouTube sort of malfeasance. Very easy to find them on Vimeo. Just go to vimeo.com and say tech field day. But there was more going on than I thought. Very big on this intent idea. It seems like intent base for Juniper isn't a washing thing. It's actually just a way of recognizing that you have to abstract away from the real thing. And you have to create some sort of policy. And then, of course, you have to turn that policy into what happens on AWS, what happens on GCP, what happens on your VMware or your, you know,
in your own private cloud.
And so you're saying, I don't know what the details of configuring this is on AWS, so I just have to get your intent, and then I'll break it down into.
It was very clear they recognized that developers are going to be driving a lot of what happens in networking, and so you need to make these essentially networking primitives that developers don't need to worry about. Somebody else can set up policies and frameworks and structures, in the underlay, and then you let the developers do what they want, but you have a system set up so that all of the networking happens without the developers having to worry about it. And that seems like part of the value add they're trying to promote with Contrail, that you get some control on the networking side and give your developers an easy playground to run in.
Yeah. And I think,
and meet them where they are, because they want to develop in AWS or Azure and on a private cloud.
And then I think what we're seeing here is this arise of the network as a platform. It was actually the clearest vision I've seen of the network's just this thing, and I make calls to it, and then somehow underneath the... And that's what intent really is I'm actually building a platform over the top. So I actually thought, like, you know, AWS... I was thinking about my BuzzFeed title for a blog post, and it was like, Google, Amazon, and Azure hate this one thing, you know, like... Because it really, like, if you started talking to Contrail, it wouldn't matter what network was underneath. It would just vanish.
That could be, yeah, sort of a long-term use case where you actually... So right now, if you go into an AWS, you're essentially locked into AWS. Mm. The sort of the magic goal is to be able to move from one public cloud to another public cloud because of cost or structure or whatever. Right now, that's very hard to do. Potentially, Contrail could be that layer that lets you join these public cloud organizations.
Well, that's it today. This has been a Briefings in Brief from Packet Pushers. These are our occasional series of podcasts that we publish as and when we find time or something to talk about it. As a result of being at Networking Field Day today, this is a quick summary of what happened at Juniper today. And stand by for more. If you want to find out more about these, head over to packetpushers.net/ and search up for Briefings in Brief, and you can get more. See you soon.